61 years ago, 1947, Roswell, the UFO crash. We all know about it. We've been there many times. The 61st anniversary is now slated for this coming July 4th weekend. Actually, it starts on the 3rd, on Thursday, and runs through Sunday. We have Peter Robbins with us on the line from New York City. Peter is in charge of the speakers at one of the venues. There are two venues going on, one at the UFO Museum and at the Civic Center. Peter wrote a book with Larry Warren that's very interesting, Left at Eastgate. I like that title, Peter, and welcome to the show. You might tell me about why you called it that.
Thanks, Jerry, and it's great to be back on. The title is Pure Larry. When he first approached me in 1987 with the book, the idea for the book, what he had was what he had lived through, which was historic and really absolutely shattering, and the title. I sort of think in a straight line where some people sort of look, you know, their thoughts are like a horizon. And it was a couple of years later, we were doing something and I mentioned I really liked that title. And he said, you like both meanings of it. And I said, what do you mean? You know, because it refers to a left turn that the security detail he was involved in their motorcade, was told to take to head up the logging road in the forest where they disembarked and then, of course, walked into their almost Twilight Zone-like episode from this amazing UFO encounter.
Yeah, and before you go any further, Peter, I want to remind people we have a couple of interviews available on our website on demand that they can go listen to your discussions about that Mendelssohn Forest thing. Now, go ahead.
What he brought up was, of course, they made that left turn, but what happened to these men and how they were treated by the military after the fact was in some respects unconscionable. They were literally left at Eastgate. And I thought to myself, wow, how could I have missed that? And I'm the co-writer of the book, and that, in fact, is the more important title. So that's where it comes from.
We're going to talk about a lot of things that are happening these days, the Vatican and their... I guess a lot of people considered it a shocker what they talked about. Basically, the good father said, if you believe in UFOs and ETs, that doesn't mean you can't go to heaven, right?
I think that was almost the starting point. If you read it all between the lines, what they were saying was, we wouldn't even be bringing this up if we had already not thought long and hard about this. And in our opinion, this phenomena and the other intelligences behind it are as real as we are. That was my take on it at the surface.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what do you, you know, we might as well not put this off. Let's consider the Catholic Church and ETs. There's a rumor they have the biggest research library, or one of the biggest ever, at the Vatican. Is that true?
You know, Jerry, we could spend a couple of shows on nothing but this. You're absolutely right. The Vatican Library is a legend among legends. We have no idea what they have there, except that it certainly involves probably the keys to some of the greatest secrets and mysteries of mankind. One tiny archaeological example. We're all familiar with the huge, imposing sculptures on Easter Island. There's no hieroglyphics or writing on any of them, but when Captain Cook and the first settlers got there, there were written tablets in an undeciphered language. I don't have to tell you where they ended up. Literally, that last scene in the first Indiana Jones movie where the camera goes to the long shot and we see this endless warehouse based on the classic ending of Citizen Kane, that's the way I visualize the Vatican Library. It houses the greatest repository of repressed, suppressed, arcane, ancient mysteries that we are aware of. Maybe there are other, you know, hidden libraries, from the Incans and
and other civilizations, but the Catholic civilization has been around
for 2,000 years. As far as its archiving of
yes.
Artifacts from around the world, not just Christianity. Christian. And let's face it, I say this with all due respect, and I grew up Jewish, and I'm proud of being Jewish, and respect my friends of every religious persuasion, but there is an aspect of all religion in its most organized establishment way that is about controlling people, the way we think, and the way we live our lives, good, bad, and indifferent. And the church is certainly no exception. What interested me most when the story broke is this is only the latest chapter in an ongoing story that, as far as I recall, I first picked up on a dozen, maybe 15 years ago, and you may have a memory of it too, Jerry. What I remember was, and it was released as a news story via a press release from the Vatican, that the Vatican, which has its own university, so to say, had established a chair. I believe in the Italian translation it came across as extraterrestrial studies. And what was put forward in the official line was, let's just say that there are other intelligences, other beings, other life forms out there in the cosmos that may or may not be coming and going. If, let's just say, it turns out to be true, all of us are going to have a little bit of readjusting to do, but once the dust settles, these are other intelligences. They may not be human, but they're obviously intelligent and evolved, and you know what our first responsibility is? To make them into good Christians. It almost superimposed the old, stencil of, you know, get out there and convert the heathens, which made me almost gasp in a way. I didn't know whether to almost laugh or cry. It is the nature of organized religion to want to expand and grow stronger, and in many religions, to convert people, to influence your fellow citizens and the world around you. And that is, you know, part of the mandate of the religion.
And it is kind of shattering, I guess, in a way to describe, to use an adjective, about the fact that here is earthly man thinking about obviously intelligent civilizations coming here, and we're trying to convert them to our religion. And I wonder if they've ever thought about maybe they might want to convert us to their religion.
Maybe. I hadn't thought of that, but that's going to make a lot of people not terribly happy. It also brings up some extremely delicate questions of the nature of theology and religion. Many people maintain with great scholarship that, you know, our whole Judeo-Christian tradition is what it is, but parts of it are drawn from earlier traditions. For example, we know from numerous works of scholarship that the idea of a great flood, of other things that come up in the Old Testament, appeared in earlier ancient, often religious texts, and seems to record genuine pre-history. But we make this our own, and I was brought up in my tradition to understand that the Old Testament was the truth, and allegories, analogies, ways of giving you lessons in life, and incorporating certain pieces of history or myth and legend that happened before there were Jewish people or Christian people out there. Some people may feel what I say is almost blasphemous. For me, it's simply the way it is. And I, again, say it with all due respect for folks that may feel otherwise.
So what do you think the Catholic Church is trying to do here?
Well, I think they are doing something extraordinary. And in some ways, it's just logical. In other ways, it's quite courageous. I think that for those of us, you, I, our friends and colleagues, who really study the best information that's out there, and let's face it, we've been at this for a long time, we've met a lot of the most important people in the work, we've read the books, the idea that the Earth is being visited by other intelligences, which may or may not mean us well, there may be numerous types of them coming here for numerous reasons, in machines, for lack of a more descriptive word, of extremely advanced technology, isn't about belief or even controversy. It's simply the way it is. Now, for many people, deeply conditioned by our modern media, our take UFOs seriously, but what I'm hearing in my mind is I'm a little crazy, you don't want to get stuck with me on an elevator. And I think there's still a lot of those folks out there in every religion and in every tradition. But let's face it, if you are an extremely devout member of any religion, the more devout you are, the more you believe in what you're taught, the more questioning anything outside of it or anything that might fly in the face of it is threatening to your belief system. If one single belief is proved empirically to be, well, a misinterpretation of something else, it could cause you to question the whole structure. And here's the church saying in so many words to Catholics everywhere, we've been thinking about this. We want you to think about this. The fact may be that aliens are here, that they come and go, that UFOs are real. And as our friend Stan Friedman has said a number of times, the question isn't, are UFOs representative of advanced technology and machines that can do this, that, and the other thing? The question is, has anyone ever been? And of course the answer to that is yes. And if it's yes, it's the biggest story of all time, or since the birth of Jesus, or since whatever you feel the most important story of all time is. And for many people, it is a paradigm shatterer. It absolutely knocks the stuffing out of your belief system. So I think they have wisely encouraged Roman Catholics to begin thinking seriously about this. And if push comes to shove, and either there is what is referred to in the trade as disclosure, or governments, well, other governments are a lot healthier about this. I'm going to get onto one of those related stories shortly. But our government is a perfect example of the worst kind of way to behave in the past decades about this study. Keep classifying, keep denying, keep offering up silly explanations or rationales, and keep pointing people away from the fact that, you know, we've never told them the truth. So the church is saying here, time to open our minds a little bit, and it may make it a little bit easier down the line. Just one question here. We're all taught as children in our traditions that we are made in God's image. Okay. If that's so, whose image are they made in?
Interesting question, for sure. And you brought up the religious angle, both of us did, actually, and that brings me back to Roswell, and that's one of the theories on why Roswell has been so secretive, is that a lot of people, I think, that the government made a decision that due to our religious nature, we just couldn't take the idea of extraterrestrials. And then you brought up Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls, and that latest Indiana Jones movie talks about crystal skulls.
I think it opens actually on the 22nd, which is a day or so from when we're recording this. Oh, no, that is today.
No, it is today.
The folks at Roswell are particularly excited because, you know, as part of their very first trailer they released some months back, once again, they use this great device of a huge warehouse room filled with boxes and crates and artifacts. And a camera goes to a huge sealed-up box, and you know the word stenciled across the side of it. It's Roswell.
That's
or not,
right.
This plays
and
into
we're...
the film, or it's just a hook for attention and promoting the film. We're all going to find out soon.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come right back, Peter, and we're going to talk about Roswell and what's happening this year. 61 years. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Jerry Pippin.
Hi, this is Rod C. Davis. I have a question. Do you love to travel? Then you need to check out YTB's weekly travel deals and steals. Just go to the Travel Store and More banner, click on the Business and Vacation Travel link, and then sign up for the Deals and Steals newsletter for great deals every week to America's favorite vacation spots. And while you're logged on, you can send flowers to that special person, buy your perfect car, buy tickets to attractions, book an exotic hunting or fishing trip, set up a honeymoon registry, and much more. Just click on the extras link and take advantage of YTB's huge purchasing power that saves you money. And if you'd like to save a lot of money on your travel, then check out the Travel Business Opportunity link and find out how you could earn a commission each and every time that you book a trip. You can be sure that Travelocity, Orbitz, and Expedia won't do that. Click on the banner and bookmark the page for your future use. You can save money and make money at the same time. Check us out.
This is Jerry Pippin, and we're talking about Roswell with Peter Robbins. And Peter, you're involved. Well, you're a major player this year in Roswell, even though you're in New York right now.
I am, and up to my eyeballs. I must say I was caught off guard and quite flattered after speaking at the big 60th anniversary conference there last year that the city of Roswell approached me and asked me to assist with organizing this year's festival and kind of develop a strategy to move forward into the future. And I'm proud to say that my official titles are UFO Speakers Conference Coordinator, and I am their public relations representative with the media of the world right now. Can you believe it?
Well, congratulations. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on Laughlin, and we said as we get a little closer, we're going to have to do a lot of shows on this, because we've covered Roswell very, you know, direct from there for the last 5 years.
Sure.
And so what's on the agenda, since you're the speakers coordinator?
Well, it's a great speakers lineup, and this is independent of an entirely separate conference running kind of parallel to the city's, put on by the Distinguished Museum and Research Center there.
Right.
The city's conference will feature a great spectrum of speakers.
Now you're going to be back at the Civic Center, right?
You know, I don't know if that's been fully finalized. There are a number of terrific venues. They'll be using that for part of it, but I don't know if that's the final location of the speakers. We'll certainly know a little bit later. Well, we're on the edge of May here, but we'll certainly know in the next couple of days. First up is one of the great scholars, I think, in the field, and that's Donald Burleson. Don is the MUFON State Regional Director, or no, he's State Director, and he is not only a New Mexican, he is a resident of Roswell. His background is absolutely terrific. He's a master's in mathematics and English, PhD in English literature, longtime teacher, author of like 14 different books, a real Roswell specialist as far as the research goes, and a respected writer on a number of other rather dark conspiratorial stories and other major UFO cases, including the Lubbock Lights, the more recent Texas sightings, and has been all over the media. His talk will be about Lubbock, Loveland, the Texas cases, Roswell, and the reality of extraterrestrial visitation.
Yeah, Texas seems to have jumped into the forefront here because of Stephenville and the big sighting there, but this Lubbock thing, that's an interesting story.
It sure goes way back,
yeah.
And for a lot of us, that was one of the cases that we cut our teeth on. Still some of the most compelling and haunting photographs of V formations at a time when you couldn't even fake these things if you tried.
Yeah.
Often the case, like the more recent Stephenville cases, even though it's anecdotal evidence, the efficacy, the straightforwardness, the honesty of the witnesses who come forward at the risk of media and public ridicule, who are asking for nothing. They don't want to write a best-selling book. They don't want to be on Oprah's show. They don't want a cent for doing what they're doing. They just would like to be treated with some respect while they share, often with a news reporter, the closest account they can give of the most extraordinary thing they have ever seen in their lives. So for me, these people deserve tremendous respect. And God bless them, they just keep going up against, you know, sort of the foxification.
Yeah, you know, back there in the 50s especially, but even later, flyovers were pretty common in Washington, D.C., of all places. And, of course, the Aztec story, there's one, you know, about a flyover there a couple of years later. This is not new stuff.
No, it's ongoing. Of course, you know, modern researchers date the beginning of the so-called modern age of UFO research from the Kenneth Arnold sightings in Washington State, and then a scant week and a half later, the Roswell crash, and that kind of kicked off the so-called phenomena in modern times. But the fact of the matter is, with a little bit of research and study, I think almost any open-minded person who can tolerate, you know, stretching their mind out a bit will realize this has been happening since time immemorial.
And we mentioned the religious angle earlier in the Old Testament, and you're Jewish. I don't know if you'd agree with me or not, but it appears that some of the things described in the Old Testament could very easily be UFOs.
Not only do I agree with you, but I think it's a terribly important thing for all of us to at least take a look at, and it's worth a moment's digression here. Some years ago, just as sort of, I don't know, an intellectual experiment, I took our family Bible when I became 13 years old, when you're traditionally, symbolically become a man in the Jewish tradition, and I borrowed Old Testaments from I ended up with about 8 different versions and translations. And I went to what for me is one of the most provocative stories in the Bible, and that's Ezekiel. And you know it well. Here's Ezekiel, and the translations differed only by a hair here and there. It's one of the most intact from translation to translation. Ezekiel's a simple man. He's minding his sheep. And lo, you know, out of the heavens comes, quote-unquote, always described the same way, a wheel within a wheel with eyes all around of the appearance of burnished beryllium, and it touches down. Now, this isn't like an ethereal kind of vision. It's not made out of gossamer and silk, and you can't see through it. It's a wheel. It's a disc. It has eyes all around. If I was an ancient that had never seen, you know, a 19th or 20th century machine, especially a commercial airplane, eyes all around might be a pretty good way to say,
portal.
In sort of a romantic. And it comes down. It's made out of metal. It's a burnished beryllium. The angel, and we know from Zachariah Sitchin that the original translation, the original meaning of that word, which we now only associate with religion, goes back to the Sumerians. The word translate is emissary or go-between. It's a word you'd see in the diplomatic corps. The angel is encased in metal, and they begin, you know, a dialogue, so to say, a relationship. Ezekiel is given certain information, and it takes off from there. For me, if I were, you know, very devoted to my religious teachings, I did not have a lot of tolerance for people that wanted to question it, and somebody said, excuse me, with all due respect, isn't it just possible that this one story here, based on this analysis, and, you know, Joseph Blumrich, a NASA systems designer, years ago wrote a terrific book called The Spaceships of Ezekiel, which he approached as a skeptic and ended up saying, my God, this is not unlike things I built to go to the moon, that this one story here might just be an absolutely understandable misunderstanding of an extraterrestrial intervention, or whatever you want to call it. If I was very set in my beliefs, this could be terribly upsetting for me. If I had a more open mind, it might be the beginning of, you know, thinking of a whole pantheon of other ideas that don't take away from my religion or the wonderful, you know, texts that go with it, but it would allow me to think beyond it without feeling threatened. But it's a delicate, delicate line to walk.
Well, you're right, and we do a lot of shows on that, and it does get a lot of different reactions. Let's get back to Roswell.
Yeah. Moving on, next speaker, and this is not necessarily the order of the lineup, is an old friend of mine that I haven't seen in years, and that's Dr. John Carpenter. John is best known for his work in the Midwest, working with people that seem to have been through the abduction experience, and he has terrific credentials. He's a master, he has a master's in social work, licensed psychiatric therapist, who trained in his hypnotic teachings at the Distinguished Menninger Clinic. John has worked with numerous people, much in the manner of people like Bud Hopkins, Dave Jacobs of that ilk, and you may remember that in 1991, there's kind of a historic event that occurred in Massachusetts. It was the world's first conference on alien abductions, and it was held at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Now, some folks have kind of spun this a little bit to make people feel or think that that MIT sponsored this. They did not. It was simply held at their facility. But at that initial very, very important event, John presented six separate papers. He's been all over the media over the years, he will be another one of our major presenters.
You have an interesting lineup there. Let's go ahead and tell the folks a little bit more.
Yeah, well, the next guy, he's one of our fastest rising stars, and for anybody familiar with the subject, hardly needs an explanation, and that's my friend and neighbor, sort of, up here in New York, Rich Dolan. Rich is a perfect example of an academic who kind of switched horses in midstream. He was quite far along in his doctorate in history, and as part of a paper that he was working on about post-war history, he had done some Freedom of Information Act work and received a whole bunch of documents, and they told him about that area in the 70s he was studying, but there was an awful lot about a subject he had never really given thought to, which was UFOs and how seriously the Americans and the Soviets took them. And that was it. I don't think he ever went back to his PhD work, but he did give us, readers and research community and everybody out there, a remarkable 500-page book called UFOs and the National Security State. And I can tell you from the horse's mouth, that is part one of what was going to be a two-part book and is now going to be a three-part book. Part two of UFOs and the National Security State will be out sometime this year. Rich is not just one of our greatest scholars. He's a terrific public speaker, an extremely knowledgeable guy, and one of the nicest people in the work as well.
That's true. We're big fans of Rich. And Greg Bishop has been there before, and he's an interesting fellow. He did that thing
Greg is one of those people who really has a hand in a number of different areas on kind of the paranormal beat. He has for years put out a journal, I think it's online now, called The Excluded Middle. And it refers to a lot of stuff that drops between the cracks in history and science and things, and also refers to those people who are not, you know, stone cold believers or very dedicated, or at the other extreme, deniers or debunkers. They're the people in the middle who are quietly looking at both sides with an open mind and trying to figure out what is going on. And his specialty is on disinformation, conspiracy theories, but he approaches it in a very pragmatic way. He's also one of the nicest people in the field, and like you, he's a radio host. He has a weekly show that comes out of the Los Angeles area called Radio Mysterioso, where he has guests on, everybody from me to Jim Mars to who knows whom, discussing, you know, kind of outsider stuff. His talk is just perfect for a conference like this. It's on alternative theories of UFO origins, and Lord knows there are a lot of them.
The whole thing kicks us off on July 3rd, right?
It does.
That's a Thursday.
The 3rd through Sunday the 6th.
And the 4th of July itself is that Friday.
Yes, sir, and we're going to be marking it just like every other American community.
Yeah, there's always a big fireworks display and a big parade. I don't know if the parade is on the 4th or the 3rd or the 5th, but there'll be one.
You better believe it.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll continue with the speakers here. And if you go to Roswell, a lot of people, Peter, haven't been there. There's events going on everywhere, all over. I mean, the planetarium, you name it, they got it going.
Not only that, but this year and moving forward into the future, it's particularly family-friendly and kid-friendly, as well as every, you know, UFO serious student and scholar. There's going to be a pair of conferences going on, and again, the study of the research center. The city is putting together some extraordinary exhibits, but there's something for everyone there, and as you know, this is not some high-priced, snooty town. Hotel, restaurant rates are reasonable. The folks are extremely nice. It's got a lot of other things that you could go there and visit, even if there never was such a thing as UFOs.
We'll be right back to talk more about if there is UFOs and your speaker lineup in a moment. Peter Robbins is our guest, and you have a fancy title again. I like that. Give it to me.
I got two too fancy, Ty. UFO Festival Speakers Conference Coordinator and Public Relations Representative for the city of Roswell, New Mexico.
We'll be right back with more about Roswell. Why visit the Grand Canyon in Arizona? Marv Mason knows why.
Mainly because the Grand Canyon is known as one of the seven natural wonders of the world.
No one gives a more personalized tour or knows more about the Grand Canyon than Marvelous Marv.
My main thing is education on the geology, because the Grand Canyon is a life record. It shows us where we were at one time on the planet with the continental drift and all the layers that were laid down by sediments, and then how the canyon was carved. And, of course, the views, you know, picture doesn't do it justice. But it's nice to have somebody there tell you about it that's lived there.
It's the best way to tour the Grand Canyon. Marv picks you up in a modern van at your hotel in the Grand Canyon area and takes you on a day-long tour. Contact Marvelous Marv Vacation Tours. Call and talk to him personally. 928-707-0291. Or visit his website.
MarvelousMarv.com. Real easy.